Hey, listener, this is Ralph from Beer, Blood, and the Bayou, reminding you that if you love our podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Classmates.com, or wherever you consume our show. We also want to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or would like to unload on our latest podcast, please call us at 405-806-0476 or write us at listener@beerbloodbayou.com. Thanks.
Beer, Blood, and the Bayou contains adult language, graphic descriptions of delicious hop treats, and real crimes perpetrated in and around the greater Houston metropolitan area. Viewer discretion is advised. Bitches.
We are.
Hey, everybody, we're back.
Beer, Blood, in the Bayou.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All three of us in one room.
Oh, my goodness, it is Thanksgiving next week.
Next week?
We are a week and a day.
This year has flown by.
I know. I can hardly believe it.
It's a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah, we will. What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
Staying here.
Are you hosting?
I am hosting, finally.
How many people?
Really?
I think like 20.
Oh!
Family yeah. Bracket.
Yeah. So, I'm
James, what are you doing?
Going out of town to Hunts Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
Nothing wrong with Hunts Vegas, I'll tell you that.
Nothing at all.
I'm a big fan, but yeah, so I'm going to do, we're going to do a turducken.
Oh, where are you getting it?
A-Bears, of course.
Nice.
Hey, I wonder, like last year during Thanksgiving, did we have this exact same conversation?
That's what I'm saying. No. A listener, we're just going to replay last year's episode for Thanksgiving.
No, so I was in the car today and the Halloween episode for some reason randomly came on. And by the way, I do not understand how my iPhone, sometimes it'll play like Macklemore, like out of the fucking blue. And then it just randomly plays like one of our podcasts. And I was listening. I was re-listening to the Halloween episode, and I didn't remember a fucking lick of it, like at all.
Do you remember the time in Huntsville when I went to buy that CD and I bought the wrong one? was the one I was looking for?
Yeah, I think you're looking for Jamiroquai.
Yeah, and I got Chumbawamba. It's that you get knocked down.
I get up again. That's Chumbawamba. Yeah.
Yeah. Right when I put it in my CD player, I'm like, well, already opened this one.
I don't think we have the rights.
It was on the wrong rack or something. I don't know.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Yeah. Huh, cool. Well, so anyhow, so, yeah, family's coming over. We're going to do a turducken for people who don't know. It is a chicken inside of a duck inside of a turkey.
It's a hen inside of a duck.
It is the... Wait, what?
Inside of a turkey.
Chicken inside of a duck inside of a turkey.
It's a hen. It's a Cornish game hen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can't, it's a pretty small chicken.
It's like the chicken centipede, basically.
Yeah, no,
the
it's centipede. It's delicious. And it's stuffed with, like, crawfish stuffing.
Yeah, Cajun.
Really?
Yeah.
We deep fried one. You never had one. Do you remember?
I always hear you talking about it.
You're not supposed to, by the way. Remember how long it took us?
Yeah, but it was delicious.
It was, yeah.
The knife fell through it.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have to, you applied no pressure.
Right, they're boneless, too, which is
also... How big is this thing?
It's pretty big.
The size of a big, good-sized turkey.
Yeah.
Delicious.
But the only thing is, it's boneless completely. And that's a little freakish, right?
That's very weird.
Yeah. Oh, it's all A-Bears, they sell tons of deboned stuff.
Yeah. What I think of is, like, I think about, like, the chicken and the duck and the turkey, and they're just, like, living boneless, right? And they're just, like, little fucking meat sacks.
Didn't that come out in the news from KFC?
What?
That they were getting chickens that were literally just on top of each other and boneless and, like, laying around.
Yeah, like some sort of, like,
there was something in the news.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds pretty familiar, but...
We should probably not get sued.
Yeah. But anyhow, doing the turducken, and you just fucking throw it in the oven, and then 45 minutes, you got enough food for like 20 people, and then, you know, I'm doing this whole smoking thing, right? Like, I'm the smoking habit. I mean, not cigarettes, but meats.
Yeah.
And so, I'm going to do a couple of chickens and a pork butt.
Oh, nice. So, wait, you should get some of those deboned chickens from A-Bears, too. They have the smaller deboned chickens.
That's not a bad idea.
And they're stuffed with,
just
like...
freak out everyone.
The crawfish Holy stuffing, shrimp stuffing.
Just freak out.
Yeah, no, and you just get all nothing, everything's deboned.
So, what is the order again? Chicken to duck to turkey?
Yeah,
to
it's
hen,
like smallest
to
largest.
To turkey.
Yeah, so,
if you like chicken, you're
bigger than a...
If you like chicken, you're waiting. So that everyone gets that Tootsie Roll center. You're eating dinner, not lunch.
You'd be surprised. It actually, since it's boneless, You're not cutting it like you would a normal turkey. You can just take it and slice it, and you can get whole slices. With every single bisection of it, you can get a little bit of duck, a little bit of hen, and a lot of turkey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but...
because you're cutting it like almost like a cake instead of like cutting into it.
What do you do in lieu of the ceremonial wishbone? Do you just get a magic 8-ball, those little shake ones?
I have no idea.
Because
most people
don't do turduckins for Thanksgiving. Well,
most people don't do wishbones, you fucking 8-year-old.
That's all we do. We don't even eat turkey. We just get a stack of wishbones. just wish. Bones, like our family just wishes all day.
Wake up. We have one next to the alarm clock on Thanksgiving morning. We wake up. Hey, speaking of Thanksgiving morning... so a thing I heard about, people are getting turkey eggs, and they're making in the morning. Here. And like, yeah, so Josh over here is like looking confused. Well, okay, but I mean, think about it. Turkeys fucking lay eggs.
Okay, right? Maybe, but okay. Well, bunnies don't, and we don't eat the bunnies that night. You know, you're like, oh, here's an egg from that turkey you're about to eat.
I know, but it's a
thank you for the egg. You're delicious.
So they're getting them to eat. Like throughout the year or for Thanksgiving?
No, for like the morning of Thanksgiving. Like they'll make like a turkey egg omelet.
That's fucking weird.
I thought you were like saying like getting gifts, like Easter egg gifts.
No, man.
Turn around. No. Look under your chair, no. Brower. Everyone's got an egg.
Everybody's got a turkey egg.
Yeah.
No. So turkeys lay eggs. And just like a chicken egg, you can fucking throw it into an omelet.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah. It's weird, right? If you think about it, you know? I've had like quail eggs. You're at a quail egg. They're fucking delicious.
Oh, that's pretty common though.
Yeah, but they're really good. But I mean, I think we should start. Let's all make turkey omelets, dude.
Well, yeah, you can't. I mean, there's no like turkey farms where they're farming them for their eggs, right? Or turkeys don't produce eggs like chickens do. Chickens have to be bred.
They throw them up or something?
No, I mean like they don't produce an egg a day.
Hey, did you learn this in your animal husbandry class?
Yes, I did.
I have no idea. I mean,
a normal free range chicken, like a backyard chicken, will produce about an egg a day.
I think you're taking like a liberty here, though. You really don't know. I mean,
I absolutely know.
Turkeys do or do not.
I'll be honest.
Turkeys lay eggs, but I do not think at the rate in which a chicken does.
I'll be honest. I won first place at an egg toss when I was 10 years old.
Oh yeah.
So I'm probably a pretty good person to talk to you about
to validate
eggs. And I'm here to say that we did not use turkey eggs.
Can we Google it real quick? I'm curious.
Right now.
I mean, how many eggs does a... But so I haven't had one, and I really want to try it. I imagine it's going to taste like chicken. Yeah. I'm so funny and original. So funny and original.
I Googled turkey eggs wiki, and it just pulled up turkey.
There's a whole Wikipedia intranet about turkey eggs. We're waiting, Josh.
I'm looking, and like it's not pulling up much at all. It's pulling.
Surprise, Brower hasn't jumped four topics by now.
Well, because I'm waiting, because I guess I have to wait to be proven right.
Oh, really?
I don't mind. Go ahead. go Google me right. I do not care. Google
you right, Alexa? No, there's no Alexa here. I wish, but
dude, I mean, I know that.
Where would you pick up this knowledge? I'm just curious.
All the prepping shows I've watched. No, I actually...
You've been studying for Jeopardy or what?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Quiche starts with Q. Or foods that start with Q.
The letter Q? Yeah. What is a quint? I've probably heard this on a show about people who have home farms.
Okay, for one thing, turkeys lay eggs much less frequently than other birds. A chicken or a duck lays about one egg per day, but a turkey lays... at most, two per week.
It sounds like I've just been Google correct.
Yes, you're correct.
However, this is rare. Most turkeys lay six a day. Joking.
Yet again.
So it's rare.
Proven right.
So if you're thinking of...
wins again.
So if this becomes a fad, to be clear, if this becomes a fad and people start wanting to do this on Thanksgiving... I don't know that it's the best business model to buy 1,000 turkeys to be that guy that sells turkey eggs.
I don't know.
Yeah, gross.
But hold on, though. They're going to start genetically modifying these already like Frankenstein fucking turkeys. And then the next thing you know, you have this whole other race of turkeys that, and they're going to genetically modify them just to lay eggs daily.
You say genetically modifying as if they're like, I'm thinking of like beakers and like Bunsen burners. Genetically modified, they are simply using the skills of animal husbandry that have been taught to us over thousands and thousands of years.
No.
Breeding animals in such a way that we are trying to produce and gain the specific outcomes that we look for.
They're using CRISPR, the gene editing software.
Actually, I read further to turkeys, genetically engineering turkeys, they found does not work. They instead just entice them to make love more often, and they put them in big farmhouses with Marvin Gaye CDs playing, dim lights to produce more eggs.
Well, speaking about Brower always being right,
yeah.
Go ahead, ask me.
Ask you what?
Ask about the Game of Thrones trivia night the other night.
Did you go?
Yes, I did.
How'd you do?
Let's see. Okay.
Did you win? Did you win? Oh, here we go.
Listen up. Here we go. Five rounds, five questions each round. And
that's 25 questions.
I had to put myself to the test. I had to find out whether or not I am some sort of at least local gross, not gross, at least local regular little bar.
Gross-ish.
I am capable of beating one of their trivias.
Okay.
So start off with 10 teams. And after about, after the first two rounds, six teams dropped out because I basically mercy ruled them. Because my score was so high, they couldn't catch up.
Oh, man.
So it was just the four of us. And I pretty much I carried it home after that. So
just think about how big his head was.
But, it was great. Won a free bar tab that night, paid for everybody I was with. And, they said sometimes they give out Texans tickets, but, of course, not that night.
Yeah
we'll go figure.
But, look, don't get me wrong. A few questions I got wrong. A few questions I missed, but there were some really, really fucking obscure ones.
Yeah.
That there's no way. They say this is TV only, but I was like, they never mentioned some of this shit in the TV show.
You remember what it was? The question?
Yeah. What is
okay, let's not nerd me out.
Just give us one or two.
Let me give you one or two. What was the name of the child that was presented to the Dragon Queen? That was killed by Drogon. That sheep herder comes in with his dead kid. What was the name of that kid?
Kill me now.
Ooh.
Oh, Lord.
Stop.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
No, there's no way. I don't even remember that scene.
Exactly. Okay. What was the name of the brothel keep guy, the guy who worked at the brothel that ratted out Loras and Marjorie?
Fabricio?
No, I knew that one. It was Oliver. I happen to know that one. It was, but it was because I was reading the book at the time. So, but anyway,
I got one for you, Brower. This is general trivia. Okay, who has doubled as a Hollywood actor and a U.S. senator?
Joe Don Baker.
Nope.
Oh, the guy
Sonny
on SNL.
No, Frank Thompson. Line of Fire.
Fred Thompson.
Fred Thompson.
Yeah, you didn't even know his
name. I got that one wrong, and I'm pretty good at like general trivia. But someone said God, this is so fucking obscure. But you know who I thought it was? I thought it was Deke. What's his name? Deke. He's the guy who was in War Games. He's the guy who was in War Games, like the general against Matthew Broderick in War Games. No, but he was a NASA guy. And I think he was a congressman or a senator. And then he was also a dog barker that we just heard.
There you go.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, anyhow.
Edit that out.
All right, so you guys want to get to the beer real quick?
Let's do it.
What are we drinking?
All right, so today there is no beer.
Why not?
Well, because I was on Instagram. Well, actually, let's start at the beginning. So I'm a little lazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. I don't know if you've noticed. Agreed.
Oh, wait. Were you approached by a group of your friends telling you how much they loved you and how much they cared a whole heck of a lot about you and they wanted you to get better?
No. Well, I don't understand.
In a circle around you?
What do you mean?
That's an intervention, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, God, that's a good idea, though, for me, you know? Like, anyhow.
For what, Instagram or for drinking?
No, so I was listening, reading
Worse. Your drinking has affected me negatively in the following ways.
Do you guys follow Worst Beer Blog? He's a guy out of L.A.
Yours.
He finds, like, all these really obscure fucking crazy stories.
About beer.
Yeah, or just, like, very controversial topics and stuff, and it's pretty entertaining, right?
His is worth following.
Yeah, it's great. So today he had a story about PBR, right? And so PBR, they released the 99 pack. Have you guys seen this?
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Yeah. So
novelty, dumb.
So initially, right, Austin Beer Works out of Austin, they were the ones that first did this, right? And when PBR did it...
PBR's out of San Antonio, right?
No, PBR's like this national brewing conglomerate.
Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Pabst Blue Ribbon, yeah. I mean, they've been around since, like...
What's the one in San Antonio? I'm pretty sure they're in San Antonio, dude.
No, they're like out of Wisconsin, I think.
No, you're not.
They're like, they're an international...
Stop typing, James.
God, here he goes. They're an international conglomerate. They're not headquartered in San Antonio. Yeah. Anyhow, so PBR came out with a 99 pack for like the holidays or whatever.
Wisconsin.
And I fucking told you. Anyhow, so they came out with a 99 pack as well. And Austin Beer Works made a big fucking deal about it because this huge behemoth, they were stealing their idea.
Suing them.
Well, no, they're not going to sue them, but they're just like very fucking original PBR, you know, like stole our idea. And then PBR shoots back. And PBR has been around since like the 1860s. And PBR, they shoot back and they say, well, you kind of did steal that six-pack idea from us.
Nice.
Oh, you know, I was like, God, that is such a good fucking burn.
Pearl is the one I was thinking about in San Antonio.
Oh, Pearl, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But hold on. But anyhow, so like, and so then they actually ended up talking like offline, and PBR is actually going to donate $9,999 to Austin Beer Works Charity of Choice. Just, you know, to smooth things over. So everybody's happy. Everybody gave each other hugs. And I thought it was a good story. So,
that is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, no, you don't like it.
Is Pabst still considered, they bought out by
the... No. Pabst is
family owned?
No, Pabst is the main company.
I know, but I mean,
they have a bunch of other...
Okay, well, first of all, let's let the cat out of the bag here.
Yeah.
PBR is bullshit beer that hipsters drink to make themselves look cool because it was cheap beer. So this is a ruse. This is like, hey, look at me. I'm like hip and cool, but I drink this really cheap beer. Yeah, it's not Bud Light, Miller Light, or Coors Light.
And it comes with a pack of those American Indian cigarettes. You seen those?
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah, those have no, what is it? No, like, additives?
PBR is hipster garbage.
It's straight cancer only.
Hipster garbage. But it actually tastes pretty good. But its popularity had a resurgence.
Right.
Because of... hipster fucktards.
So let's say, so it was founded, just real quick, I pulled up the Wikipedia article, 1844, American style lager. They're based out of Milwaukee, established in Milwaukee.
Said that.
And based out of LA.
And they love San Antonio.
Originally called Best Select. Pabst Brewing Company. Pabst Brewing Company.
So we should celebrate this.
I guess. I don't know.
Get together.
Like who owns? Oh, yeah. So it's TSG Consumer Partners and Eugene Capture. I don't know. So it's not even PBR anymore. It's like, again, it's just this huge conglomerate, international conglomerate.
Hey, have you noticed brewery beer prices have been sneaking up?
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah, because probably their raw material pricing is probably going up.
Okay. God. I mean, how do you know that for sure? I mean, has there been a run on hops lately?
I don't know.
Do you think?
Well, actually, hops sometimes they are in really short supply.
Oh, you mean so it's a commodity?
Supply and demand. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't think so. I think things have just kind of sort of settled in, and people are going from the $5 basic to like the $6 beer.
Oh shit! That's hey, sorry, real quick. I just want to throw this out.
No,
real quick.
I knew you weren't listening to Brower. Go on.
No, I was. No, just real quick. Don't get mad.
He's like, this is way more important.
Not getting mad.
No. So the holding company for PBR, they're a Russian company. Yeah, Soviet Union. Eugene Kasper.
That was way more important.
It was.
And Brower's interesting story.
I knew that.
Story.
I just forgot about it. Sorry, go ahead. Back to commodity pricing.
God.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's probably an app.
So I think I've noticed beer prices have gone up. I only say that to say at No Label this past weekend, which we were there for a party. For
JB.
JB from Pleasanton.
He came out of the closet and told us who he was, and we met him and had a party.
That's right. Anyway, it was an amazing, amazing party and an amazing brewery. I'm ashamed to admit that was the first time I've ever been there.
Go there in the summer.
It was very cold. It was very great. To be fair, it was, it is kind of far outside of town, but cool location, god awful parking lot, but like super great beer. I think I drank the Gilly's Blonde all night long, and it was delicious.
Yeah, like Dr. Love, the bartender. Do you meet him? He's a cool motherfucker.
Man. He was a really great guy.
Yeah,
I was wildly impressed. And to be fair, the first couple times I went up to him, you know, he's the guy who was wearing sunglasses at night, so, you know, obviously he's super cool, but I got like a weird vibe from him, like he doesn't like these fucking people here, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but through, you know, 4 or 5 beers later, the guy's, you know, my new best friend.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Pro tip for No Label, if you go there in the summer, ask for a table in the walk-in cooler because there's no air conditioning.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so No Label was great. Party was great. Spasmatics, that was a lot of fun. You know, I look at them, I'm like, oh, it's a franchise, okay, whatever.
No, man, they're really good, I thought, yeah.
No. It's talented. It's like same thing as if I went and watched
it's like a piano bar. Lady.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're just watching these people who do this probably 3 or 4 nights a week.
Easily.
So, good for them, though. Overall, great time, great party, great everything.
Oh, wait, can I tell you about my idea real quick about Franchise Band?
Absolutely.
And I'll do it really quickly because I know we got to move on. But so I had an idea kind of like the Spasmatics, except they only play corporate events and they dress up like in polos, khakis, braided belts, and they're called business casual.
Mm-hmm.
And they have badges and they only have songs about like Excel spreadsheets, TPS reports, PowerPoints, that sort of thing.
I think it's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I don't know that, I mean.
I'm not investing in it.
Yeah, I mean,
get your own equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really pitch. This is your elevator pitch?
Well, no, so like, no, but like corporate rock, right? It'd be like a new genre.
I get that. No, I actually, I know what you mean. And I was trying to push a band in a direction one time because I had had a similar line of thinking where, you know, the market is so large that you just got to develop a niche following.
Right.
And that's all you need. But, you know, are there that many corporate events that could support a franchise band like this across every single country? I mean, I don't know. It sounds like a big ask.
I'll Google it later.
Google him right, please.
Google him right. No, I thought maybe it would be a good idea. I just feel like there's no music for like the urban professional, you know?
I think it would be funny to see a group of guys in polos and khakis and name badges dressed like that with braided belts at like a death metal concert.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
You know, I was invited back in my stand-up days to do a Christmas party for British Petroleum. And I didn't get the memo from the comic that invited me to open for him.
Yeah.
As to that I needed to change my act, which was edgy at best. And looking back, the things I said in front of these like executives from BP, there was a reason why I wasn't the biggest hit.
Wow.
It was.
Did you get any laughs or no?
Oh, yeah, but it was just awkward.
It was awkward laughing. A lot of staring at
wait,
management.
You did a corporate event and you went blue?
What does that mean? Went blue?
No, either.
Is that an industry term? What does that mean?
It means you use foul language. You were blue.
I haven't heard him say call
I've
that.
I've never heard that either.
Google
him right.
Google
there we go.
The guy that booked me to go with him told me to be myself, quote unquote, and do my act that he had seen before. And I guess it had been a while since he'd seen me because it was a little awkward silence sometimes.
Yeah, that was a funny act, man. We should like do a segment on here once that just has. We have it on tape, don't we? Somewhere
on a 8-track, yeah.
8-track, yeah. We need a fucking. It's funny, dude.
One of your sets recorded?
I do on CD or two, and I also ghetto copyrighted it. I mailed it to myself years ago and didn't open it.
Yeah, I learned
I have a couple of my commercial spots that I keep on a CD that I did some of my demo tape.
Sue Lexus one day.
Yeah, no, and no, just like it was back before I was married, and I can just throw it in the CD player. Like, hey, you want to hear something cool?
I got a couple songs.
Kids are gonna love it.
I got a couple songs from Cock Talk days that I found recently.
Oh, nice!
Not Cock Talk, but me actually singing. Yeah. So I think here's what we should do.
Piano.
Here's what we should do. We should have a special episode.
Mm-hmm.
We play your material.
Our
we play
demos.
Brower spots.
Yeah,
and you play my music.
And you play your penis.
Yeah,
material.
Mercedes.
Yeah, Mercedes. Yeah. Brower though, Mercedes your spot GL. was pretty. It sounded really good. Professional.
It was also done in a professional studio.
Yeah.
With a professional engineer.
Not like this, you know, nothing like
no,
this.
No.
A train engineer.
I think if my engineer from my recording sesh came in here and saw this setup, he'd drop dead.
His mixing board was the size of this room.
Oh yeah, dude, he had his own room for a mixing board.
Did you know though that it's all bullshit, right?
Because
now everything is done on computers. Like that, whenever you see like a huge mixing board in a room.
Well, back in the day it was real.
Well, right, but today like run because it's all for fucking show.
Yeah,
because like what you'll see a fucking MacBook laptop like on top of all the knobs, and that's what they're really
using. Yeah, you know, like if I ever had enough money to build my own studio, you know, I think I would have a space for a laptop, and then like take little dowels and color them and glue them down.
Yeah, you, listener,
like fucking like listener, knobs you, and shit.
You know, you found a professional recording studio when you go in. He puts his feeling desk and he just opens his cell phone and says, "Start singing." That's when you got the big guy in Houston. Yeah.
Hey, let me get my Shazam app out.
Yeah. Oh man, this is
he's got like a really fancy chair and a cell phone in his lap.
No man, oh, this is what Travis Scott did. Trust me, man.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys go to Lakewood and see Kanye?
No, we talked about it last week. Did you hear?
I skipped through all that.
Oh, you did? Did you really?
No, I listened to it.
Oh, not to the end though. Not the Bayou.
No, I didn't. Couldn't do it. Yeah. No, I guess I didn't finish the last couple of minutes. But no,
I
heard that you know, tickets were going for like $500.
Yeah. No kidding.
The free tickets. Some people were selling them.
People are flipping them for the Lord.
Yeah. What was his? He had a quote. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said that God created the like most perfect, greatest artist ever, and now that artist is serving God.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he said. Yeah, the world's greatest artist is now serving God.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
Olsen was crying in the background.
Probably.
Olsen's like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Yeah,
I'm sure it's taped somewhere. I would like to watch it, but
yeah,
let's get to the blood section.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
If you're good, then God'll be good.
God will be good.
And give till it hurts.
That's page 1 and 2 of his book.
That's right.
Okay. Josh, you ready?
We're tag team in this one.
Well, okay.
Tag team. Back again.
Let's do it.
All right. We will be right back after this.
Dorks.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody, back with the, what is this called? The blood?
Blood
section. It's going to be a triple help on this one, apparently.
Blood section. It's not the blood segment. We don't do segments.
Yeah. Well, this one's, I have a lot of thoughts on this one.
Yeah.
I'm sure, listener, you might remember the story of that that family driving in SUVs and an SUV caravan down in Sonora, Mexico, and they were fell upon and ambushed by cartel members.
Last week?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Add another week to that.
And it's so sad. One of the mothers got out of the car. She knew the score, knew the game, showed her hands. She said, "We are not here to bother you. We'll give you what you need. Leave us alone. We're just families cutting through here. We're not a part of whatever's going on." And they gunned them down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Killed them, killed babies. It was two mothers and the and 8 kids or 7 kids. And there's some horrifying stories about like a 10-year-old getting like several of his siblings and hiding them in the woods, and he wanders out like 14 miles to a house somewhere, and then his next oldest sibling that was there, she wandered off another 12 miles looking for help. And this is all at night after being shot, and the boy had been shot multiple times.
And real quick though, didn't they
torched it. The most horrifying thing that could ever possibly happen to this family. So so as this story continues to develop up here in this in our country, because these were technically American citizens going down to for a wedding, and they had ties to Utah, I believe. They're probably Latter-day Saints or some sect of that. And the news media continues to put stories out that are related to the story. And I think, Josh, you have one for us, right?
Right. And I don't normally read an article word for word, but it is short and it was thrown in my lap today.
Sorry. Who's it by?
It was from Click to Houston.
Yep.
And the headline of the article was "Family Ambushed in Mexico is now linked, according to them, to a triple homicide in Houston that happened 31 years ago. So fundamentalist Mormon community in Mexico is linked, like I said, now to the triple homicide that happened in Houston more than 30 years ago, which I did not remember this, but there were 2 brothers and an 8-year-old girl who were killed execution style on June 27th, 1988, And the investigators eventually learned the killings were a blood atonement for their sin of leaving a polygamous Mormon cult called the Church of the Lamb of God. So they were part of this church.
Yeah, so there's a loose association from something horrific that happened 30 years ago. So I find that very interesting and fascinating and beard-scratching that this is the story that comes out about this. Nothing about any investigations or about, you know, how the president of this country just offered up our services to the president of Mexico saying, hey, we will do whatever it takes to get to the bottom of what's going on down there. This is getting out of hand. I mean, two or three more of these, you're going to see the army at the border, and you're going to see them marching across, and someone's got to take care of this.
Before I go any further, I've always thought that you have to be, drug cartels have to be right walking a fine line on what they do to wake up the American military to get and intervene. I mean, I know there's politics involved, and you don't just go in there and start killing people, but obviously their cartel locations
are... You can't invade a sovereign nation.
I know, but they're all well-known. Everyone knows where they are. It's not like they're able to hide. I mean,
they've already won a battle. They won the battle for El Chapo's son.
I'm just saying that...
They brought that city and the police force to its knees. They ended up releasing him after hours-long battle. They were battling in the streets of Mexico
war.
City.
It's definitely a war.
So...
But you think that if this were to happen, say... two or three more times, like you said, that there wouldn't be calls to
Secret Service. I'll say that it's going to take, and this is an unfortunate thing to even have to say, it's going to take someone of a certain profile, of a certain level of...
Politician's son.
Potentially of importance, that we're really going to have to start to act down there. I mean, what if all this craziness was going on up in Canada? You know, I mean, would we not offer assistance and help up there? I mean, this is out of control. And the reason that we're reading articles about something that this group of people that their religion had something to do with 30 years ago here is because we're trying to say, hey, everybody, look, it's not Mexico's fault. This don't look bad about them. And I don't want to say bad things about about a country because I'm not doing that. I think it's horrific. I wish that we can go in there and help them and do everything we possibly can to take care of whatever the problems are that are down there. Decriminalize everything. Offer up pardons for these people because maybe they're hardened criminals who don't want to come down. Who knows what's going on, but they have got to stop. And this is out of hand. And we in this country are now, unfortunately, having to live through, it's like... We're the drug users, so we're the problem. You know, it's not the people who are selling the drugs to us; we're the problem. You know, it's not that poor family, that poor Mormon fundamentalist that we're driving down there. It's their fault. They shouldn't have been there. Sorry, shit happens. You know, it's not the poor downtrodden Hispanics' fault. It's your fault, Whitey. I think that's part of what's going on here, and that's why we're seeing these articles, and we're not seeing anything about what's being done to capture these guys. I think they caught maybe two of the guys, but I mean, this was done by a large group of people. This is an ambush,
right? Well, you're exactly.
I've
right.
said a lot. I said a lot.
No, well, no. Okay. I mean, real quick though, before you get back into it. So, talking about the cartel issue, the drug issue, the war on drugs. That's been going on forever, obviously, with no fucking end in sight.
Cocaine Cowboys.
Yeah. By the way, great documentary if you guys mm-hmm. haven't seen it. I don't know if you guys have heard, but states where there's been legalized marijuana, they're finding shop owners. I guess, what do you call them? Pot shops? I mean, what's the term? It's not a head shop, right? But whatever they are. So people who facilitate...
Dispensaries.
Dispensaries, thank you. Dispensary owners, they're fucking showing up dead.
Well, you know why?
Turning up no, I know exactly why.
What is your reason? I bet you're wrong.
I think it's because they're not paying a fucking royalty to some cartel who once ruled that area, right?
No.
No, what?
The reason is, I read a big article on this one time. Okay. Well, this is based on one article, but the states are approving legalization of selling marijuana. However, the government is not so far as a whole. So
right.
they can't take their... money to FDIC approved banks. So they're having to hoard. These people know they have a shit ton of cash at all times. I mean, they can't They can put it in the bank, but it's not going to be.
I've seen a lot of dispensaries. They have like armed people right.
that protect. It's not that. It's not that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, maybe.
There might
maybe
be
like
of that.
Some of the cases. Will
yeah,
probably.
Maybe some. But I'm just. I think people are being executed.
There's too many legal farms. I mean, you know, marijuana is being grown in so many places now. I don't think that's still being controlled by cartels. I do know that. Since marijuana is legal up here now, they are still finding tons and tons of it being grown out in the middle of the fucking woods in California.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, they're finding acres and acres of this shit. I mean, you know, great, you know, but that's not the only problem. I mean, there's also issues with fentanyl. You know, that is that's not grown. You know, that's not grown in some dude's boot in his closet with a grow light. You know, that is a chemical compound being made in China, brought through Mexico and shipped up here. And I mean, some places are saying they're getting the fentanyl problem under control, but it's getting out of control.
It's bad. And let's talk about vaping.
Yeah, no shit. But you know, I mean, we can go on all day if you want to start. You want to start talking about
beer, blood, and the fentanyl?
No, the what you call it? It's the
cartels,
the opiates.
Opiates.
I mean, those are killers, man.
Opiates. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely, they are. Yeah,
eating a handful of pills, drinking a few beers, and never waking up. And I can count on two hands how many people I know have done that.
Yeah,
you know, that just that's sad.
It is. Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry you laughed, Jaheims, but I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, I was reading the article on halfway.
Sorry,
what you're saying.
Made you laugh.
You didn't. I just realized what you're talking about. I was actually reading this next article I was about to finish up on, but
yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this, guys. I'm sorry if I came across. One side or whatever. I think that we are losing. We're not able to see the forest for the trees. Or the trees for the forest.
Yeah. The weed bushes.
Yeah,
the weed bushes.
And so you know, while I think this is a very interesting article, why would we bring it up now when this family of nine got slaughtered? You know, now we have to hear about some other horrible thing that happened in their past. You know, it's like. You know, it feels very like, that seems kind of strange, guys. Where's this article coming from?
So I will summarize the article now because we've kind of gone off in different directions with it. But essentially, Click to Usen is in this article is trying to tie what we've been talking about into a case 30 years ago in Houston that was tied to a family that was part of this. I would call it a cult, but they didn't really. Well, I guess they called it a Mormon cult. The Church of the Lamb of God. And what happened here is anyone that was found to leave the group became a target by the founder, Ervil LeBron, or LeBaron.
LeBaron.
LeBaron, yeah. So what he did is he basically created
LeBron James.
He created a hit list, basically, and went around and started tracking down these people. These three people in Houston and 30 years ago were gunned down in their front yard, basically, for leaving the cult. And what they're saying now is that this family apparently was part or tied into this Church of the Lamb of God is what this article's trying to say.
Right.
I didn't know. I thought it was all drug cartel stuff until today, until you gave me this article.
Well, it is. Did you know Ben Affleck's ancestors owned slaves?
Oh, he didn't like to talk about that.
No, he didn't like talking about that.
Didn't he ask? He asked them to cut that out of the PBS special.
Yeah, and they made that the main theme.
Well, you do know about DeBakey too, right?
Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah. Well, no, that's pretty crazy.
Well, I'm not going to read the whole article because we kind of went in a different direction. I know you found more information on this. You want to go into
it? No, real quick, though. So is it still a cold case, or do they solve it, or what do they say?
They are saying that this family 30 years ago was part of, that they were part of the cult.
Right.
And they were on this list that they've, I guess, uncovered. That,
right.
Of people
well,
that he
I don't
wanted
think
to have
the
killed.
9-month-old baby that died at the hands of some cartel member gives a rat's ass about a murder that happened here 30 years ago.
I know. That's what's weird, that they're trying to spin.
Thank you.
That. I don't know. Thank I mean, you. I guess. Thank I mean, you. I, mean, for, I we don't know.
You're proving his point, yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
you're
that's...
Proving my point. You're,
No, I'm dead serious. I don't mean that in a backhanded way. I'm dead serious.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just...
Well, they're all horrible crimes. I think there's...
Someone's jingling the keys at us. Like, jingle, hey, everybody, don't look at that over there. Look at the keys. Look at the keys. Jingle, jingle, jingle.
I mean, some of the circumstances seem the same, but I guess they're just kind of grasping at straws as to what... I mean, you know, execution style, essentially, Mormon families. I guess yeah. that's where they tie this. And maybe they know more than we do, but the article doesn't really go into details that there's a direct tie-in. It's very vague.
Yeah. So the leader of that fundamentalist group.
He's died, right, in prison.
Yeah, he's done. His name is Everell LeBaron. He was a leader of the polygamous Mormon fundamentalist group who ordered the killings of many of his opponents using the religious doctrine of blood atonement,
mm-hmm.
just like Josh was saying, to justify the murders. He was sentenced to life in prison for orchestrating the murder of an opponent and died there. So this guy, he was born in Chihuahua, Mexico. So he was definitely associated with...
Yeah.
All right. So he had at least 13 wives in a plural marriage. God, I love how Wikipedia just throws that out.
Hey, you know what?
Plural marriage? Yeah.
Okay.
What?
So, you know, I'm a pretty open-minded person.
Yeah.
You know,
Three wives?
No, I have the one, and you know, she's first of all, I don't see how in the world anyone could have more than one wife.
God, I know. Like, could you imagine?
How can you deal with that many problems? I know. You know, it's like I can only handle these problems.
How could you get in your door with that many Amazon boxes?
I know. How could you? Yeah, you
13 wives. I mean, you got like 18 wheelers showing up to Amazon. I mean, you are definitely broke.
Your Amazon guys is doing circles in your cul-de-sac.
You have to move right next to the distribution facility.
Yeah. Save on shipping.
You don't even get Prime discounts. Too much deliveries.
No, yeah. You have too many wives for a Netflix account. Netflix shuts you down.
Yeah, you'll have a plan with 16 TVs on it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, oh, I mean, look, I don't think are any of his 13 wives, were they held at gunpoint at the altar? I don't think so. I mean,
no. I mean, who knows?
It seems like they're pretty willing.
Yeah, you know, sometimes but they're forcing a marriage out of like a
are they?
Really young age. Yeah,
you've seen Big Love.
Have you ever seen Big Love? Exactly.
Maybe so. But you know what? If you make it legal and you flush it out, and you're like, hey, you got to go get this. You got to get a legal document here signed. And that person's got to go in there and tell a judge or someone saying, yeah, I'm 18 years old and I want to marry this 85 year old man. So I think legalizing that, flushing that out, making sure if this is going to happen, let it happen. You know, I mean, we're letting so many other variations of marriage go on, and which I'm 100% for. It's like, when's polygamy? I think polygamy is the other shoe to drop, I would imagine. I mean, I don't know why we don't. I think there's like... There's some kind of weird legal reason behind it, I think.
Polygamy is illegal.
No, I understand that it's illegal on the books. Just like, cows farting and you know, facing east is illegal in some states,
right,
or whatever. But, polygamy is illegal for sure. Okay. But I think there's some other kind of weird implication with that that I can't remember right now. But...
Is it how they still get away with doing it?
Yeah, I think it has to do with no. Why they won't just make it legal? I think it has to do with like death benefits or something, or like I can't remember what it is. But I think that polygamy would be something that eventually people just come to a level of acceptance, which I think people already do.
Yeah,
according to Big Love, that's pretty cool.
Big Love's a TV show, but you know what's a real show? Sister Wives.
Oh, that's right.
I watched that with my wife, and those women sometimes were bitter, but they look like they were pretty freaking happy. And wow. Oh, Cody, I can't believe that guy, you know, he had a hell of a job.
I know.
So,
but what do you do to support all those wives? Own a business? They kind of have to, right?
No, I think he was on a TV show that was about all of his wives.
Wanted to kill himself until he got that gig.
He had to have like a show before, right?
Yeah, it was about him getting all these wives. You know, I think it's like self-fulfilling. No, I think he had a job doing something, and you know, some of the other women worked.
Glue factory.
Yeah, one of the first wife, she was a little bit on the older side. Cody had a young vibe, you know, even though he was losing his hair or whatever, but he still kept it long and weird. So, you know, he was still pulling in the younger ladies. But no, it's...
How many wives did he have?
Four. And, you know, several kids, and they all live in one cul-de-sac. They lived in Vegas for a while, then moved back to Utah, which, by the way, is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
What, Utah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right here.
Yeah, it's magnificent.
Yeah. If we are continuing on this story. So, yeah, 13 wives in a plural marriage,
mm-hmm.
Several of whom he married while they were still underage. And several.
That's where the problem really starts coming in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's.
Well, yeah, it's because they have to do this behind closed doors. So what are they going to do? They're going to get real freaky with it.
Yeah.
So if you flush this out and you make it legal, no one's getting married underage. Bing, bang, boom.
Right. So after the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints officially abandoned the practice of polygamy in 1890, some polygamous Mormons who were later excommunicated from the LDS Church, they moved south to Mexico to continue the practice without the interference of U.S. law. Alma Dare LeBaron Sr., I guess this is the dad, was one of these people in 1924, moved his family, which included his two wives and eight children, to northern Mexico. There, the family started a farm called Colonia LeBaron. It's a good name.
Sounds like a
colony. Spanish for LeBaron colony.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. So when Alma died in 1951, he passed the leadership of the community on to his son, Joel LeBaron. Joel eventually incorporated the community as the Church of the Firstborn of the Fulfillment of Times in Salt Lake City, Utah. Jesus, that's a long name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Joel's younger brother, Irville LeBaron, was his second in command during the early years of the church existence. The group ultimately numbered around 30 families who lived in both Utah and a community called Los Molinos on the Baja California Peninsula. So now we get into the killings. In 1972, the brothers split over leadership of the Church of the Firstborn of the Fulfillment of Times. Jesus, this is such a long name. And Irville started...
It'd be hell for t-shirts.
And then Irville started the Church of the Firstborn of the Lamb of God in San Diego, California. That year, Irville ordered the murder of Joel in Mexico. Leadership of the Baja California Church passed to the youngest LeBaron brother. God, I keep doing the LeBron thing too, right? It looks like LeBron.
It's a difficult name.
Yeah. Past the youngest LeBaron brother, Verlin, whom Irville tried to have killed over the next decade. In 1974, Irville was tried and convicted in Mexico for Joel's murder. His conviction was overturned on a technicality. Some allege that this was because of a bribe. Irville's followers subsequently raided Los Molinos in an effort to kill Verlin, who was in Nicaragua. Totally nailed that.
You did?
I did. But the town was destroyed, and the two men were killed.
Hmm.
So, Irville LeBaron's attention was also focused on rival polygamous leaders. In April 1975, he ordered the killing of Bob Simmons, a polygamist who sought to minister to Native Americans. In 1977, LeBaron ordered the killing of Ruland C. Allred, leader of the Apostolic.
So, okay, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, we can continue.
You're bored.
But, yeah.
Page
wildly.
Two.
Yeah, so this guy is a murderer, okay? Period. It doesn't matter what his religion was.
Yeah.
He split off. He is a murderer, plain and simple. Mm. He was smart enough to convince the people to do it. But, I mean, murderer, yes. But he, I don't think it had anything to do with his religion. That religion was his, his muse.
This was pure anger.
Yeah, I mean, he got tried to murder his brother. So, I mean, again, I'm no defender of fundamentalists. If anything, I'm more of an agnostic or whatever. But, it feels like a little unfair, you know. I think we're getting confused here by the shiny keys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I'm not going to... We're running super long. And
that's what she said.
And anyhow, so like Josh had said in that article, the people murdered here in Houston, their names were...
Oh, man. So there's that.
Wayne Henley and Dean Corll.
No.
I closed my tablet.
Which, by the way, can I tell you one thing, James? You were sleeping on Dean Corll. I listened to a podcast, the Serial Killers podcast, like a Norwegian guy doing it.
Oh, no. Yeah. I knew there was a lot more to it, but y'all told me that y'all were making fun of me for going too long.
No, I wasn't. But, so the final, when Dean Corll was killed, spoiler alert, he's the candy man.
Wayne Henley, I know.
Yeah, but you did you tell us what the girl said to him?
What girl?
The girl, okay, so I don't want to paint the picture too much.
Oh, yeah, it was a boyfriend and girlfriend that were in the house when it happened.
Yeah, and the girl was handcuffed or whatever, and she, after she had been, violated, every which way possible or whatever, and her boyfriend was about to be violated by the Dean Corll, she was still in shock and she had disassociated herself from it, and then she, because she was an abused person herself, and she, the Wayne Henley guy, she asked him, she said, is this for real? is this really happening? And he leaned down and said, yeah, this is really happening. And she said, and this is what triggered him to freak out. He said, aren't you going to do something about it? And that's when he grabbed the 22 and pumped Dean Coral full of holes. But, I mean, like, the buildup to that, what he was doing, I was like, I listened on the way down here. I was like, holy shit.
What podcast was this?
The Serial Killers.
That's going to be projected into the limelight now that that show on HBO talked about it.
I mean, they need... Mindhunters. For sure.
I just don't understand why there's
Netflix,
not a...
Mindhunters.
I know, but I don't understand why there hasn't been more media attention around it.
Is this Houston?
Weird. Why?
It's kids, for one, which is not as attractive as Ted Bundy killing sorority girls.
Yes, and there's also another...
Well, John Wayne Gacy killed a bunch of kids.
Well, I think there might be an... this might be a wacky conspiracy theorist, but I think it's... there's a... overtone of, you know, he was a confused homosexual man and he was raping these boys and he was doing horrible things. And I think this is feeding some really awful, awful, awful stereotypes that people have of some
communities.
Yeah. Certain communities. And I maybe that's not the case, but it feels like this might be just a, you know, do we really want to do this? It's like, do we want to make a movie about how, you know, like...
It would be a very difficult movie to do.
Yeah. And do it, I don't want to say justice, but, it was just... I think it's a touchy subject.
I guess I'm not even saying really like a movie, right? I mean, like, there's just been a lot... Like John Wayne Gacy, right?
Yeah, there's
everybody knows about him. I'm saying, though, is that there's no documentaries.
It's because he's from Houston.
It's on YouTube yet. There's essentially like a top 20 serial killer list, if you were what you're insinuating, and he's not on it at the end of the day.
Well, here's another thing. To your point, though, a lot of his victims were just kind of some minorities, and they were just like runaways and like throwaway kids. You know, they were, you know, they weren't being listed as missing for days.
They were staying. Some of them were staying at the Covenant House. Which is the place I renovated.
I mean, they weren't.
Thanks for making it about you, Josh.
Yeah.
But no.
All turns back to me.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I think there's also a little bit of element of that. Like what you said about Ted Bundy. And that guy was, you know, killing sorority girls, man. I mean, that's prime time stuff. He was a good looking guy killing good looking girls. Mm-hmm. Wow, who doesn't want to watch that on the news at 6?
You know what famously the judge said in that trial? Because he represented himself.
You're hot.
The judge said in his closing statement to Ted Bundy, he said something along the lines, I'll paraphrase it, in a different world, you would have served my courtroom nice. Right, I would have loved to have seen you be a lawyer, an attorney.
Yeah, practice in my courtroom.
But unfortunately, you picked the wrong side of the law or something like that. And I'm like, oh, so funny. Yeah. Because he was really well-spoken.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're getting off on all these tangents, but...
So anyhow, one of these people that Everill killed was the Chenoweth family here in Houston. So total, 33 people
on the list, right?
Yeah. So
well, now they're tying it.
He died in prison. He did some really wacky shit in prison. And I guess we'll end it there.
Well, so in closing, this article that I just read apparently is tying this recent case to that sect, if you will. Brower brought up a good point. Probably just a drug cartel issue. Nothing to do with that. But
No.
It's a spin. So. It could be possibly a spinoff. I'm curious to see where they're going to take it. That's a pretty hardcore article to put out there that with nothing back.
I'll tell you what. I guarantee probably nothing fucking happens.
I don't even know why you would write that article then.
Yeah. Well, and they it's a tie-in, right?
I guess.
I don't know. Anyway. I mean, I think the guy who wrote that article, Phil Archer, or the guy who did the report, I mean, he was around then, you know? He's been...
Yeah. I mean...
He's like news royalty here in Houston.
Yeah, it's like, you want to make it a little bit about yourself, but how does it get past an editor?
Yeah.
Because, you know, and they're not chasing those stories if someone's not directing them. You know, and if it doesn't fit, then they're not going to do anything with it. You know, it's like what Jeff Zucker said when he took over CNN. Trump all the time, every time.
Yeah.
So...
It's what sells.
That's right.
Good deal. All right. So
Let's do the bio section next time. It's going to be a doozy, and we went a little long.
Oh, you
that's right.
You want to cut out?
Yeah, we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, it's late.
We got to get ready for Thanksgiving.
Everybody's got to get home.
That's right. We'll be recording again before Thanksgiving. We will release before Thanksgiving.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a commitment. That's a Brower commitment.
We are consistent. We always release in a week where there is a Tuesday.
Mm. That's right. We release every single week that a Tuesday exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Don't be confused.
That's our new commitment. Okay, I'll just go ahead and cue the music.
All right.
I love this song.
Yeah, you're really good at non sequiturs, Ralph. Yeah.
What does that mean?
You're terrible at it.
That's a big word. I have no idea what that means.